I think we need to treat the Dallas Cowboys as they should be treated. They are a bad franchise. They are a terrible football team. And they do not deserve to be put on a pedestal until they prove it otherwise.
There's nothing redemptive about them.
They get treated like the LA Dodgers when they are the Angels.
Ooh, that's a bar.
They do. They get treated like they are the Dodgers and they are successful and they are close, and then the team that just can't get over that hump. No, they're closer to the Angels than they are the Dodgers, and we need to treat them like that. It doesn't matter that you are America's team. They haven't done anything in 30 years. They haven't. Actually, the Angels have done more recently, and we criticize the Angels for not doing anything and wasting talent. That's exactly what Dallas does. And yet we treat them as if they are close to getting over the hump. And they're not. They are not. They need to be treated like the Jets get treated.
Which is interesting because as bad as they are, as dysfunctional as they are, they're one of the better drafting teams in the NFL.
So are the Angels.
It's
the Angels had the two best players in all of baseball.
And you're not wrong. I think there's something to that, right? Like, you look at what they've been able to build over the years. How many guys have come from the outside in?
Like, as far as, like, free agents,
yeah,
and like, stuff like that?
Been, like, been the backbone of their team.
Not many.
Or been that important to their team.
But, like, in the same vein, though, Joe Douglas just got fired today, Jets general manager. Mm-hmm. He has drafted Garrett Wilson, mm-hmm. Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, Will McDonald, Braylon Allen, Jermaine Johnson, Michael Carter II.
Didn't he also draft a big boy up front? D-tackle. They just paid all that money to.
No, I think they
was that the year before?
Brought him in. Either that or he didn't draft him. But that's all since 2019. The Jets draft players too.
Yeah.
So but they overpaid.
It's not, like the Raiders, the Browns, who have been just abysmal in the draft. It's the other stuff. And it's almost like, maybe it's ownership.
They overpay at the wrong times to the wrong people mm-hmm. in the wrong positions. They have not been able to draft, develop a quarterback in New York. And yet, because the Dallas Cowboys get treated like they are the Lions or the Chiefs or the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example, they get treated like they're the Steelers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally really good. And hey, they're going to be right there at the end. No, they're not. They aren't. And there's like this belief that, you know what the Cowboys are going to do? They don't need to be elite at quarterback. Dak Prescott is good enough to do it. He hasn't been.
No. And then you paid him the obscene amount of money. That's the thing about this is...
Now, I don't want to trash Dak because I don't think he's a trash quarterback.
No. But they paid him like one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's nowhere near that.
I can't tell you how many times Cowboy fans are like, Dak's top five, top 10. No, he isn't.
He's not. He's like 11 through 13,
yep.
14.
And
like,
that's
again, better than most.
That's like the 0.02% of quarterbacks in the world.
Yes.
He is.
Yes. But the gap between him and what you paid him it's not quite Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
But it might as well be. Because once you commit that money to that guy and he's not that guy, see, I don't know, the Browns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything else falls apart from that. And your actual best player, your franchise changer, and Micah Parsons is the one that you didn't pay.
It sounds like another team in that division. Now the Dallas Cowboys are 0-5 at home.
They've lost six straight at home after going 16-1.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, in those six losses, they have trailed by 20 points in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just losing, they're getting
schlacked,
hammered.
And I want to remember it right. In the previous 2 years, they trailed for 227 total minutes. And over the last five, they have trailed for 272.
I just want to do this out of the one thing out of Monday Night Football is we need to start treating the Cowboys like what they
like
are.
Like a dog water franchise.
Because they are right now.
Yes.
And you mentioned it. Ownership matters. And leadership matters. Ownership doesn't matter as much as your front office matters. And in Dallas, the front office and ownership are one and the same. Right?
Yes.
It's Jerry Jones calling the shots.
And even then, it was like, well, they just got to get rid of Jerry. I'm like, oh, so they can replace him with Steven Jones?
Because ownership has not changed in Detroit. They're figuring it out. Right? They bring in Brad Holmes. They get a coach and a GM that are on the same page. They draft and develop and invest their money in the right spots and do it wisely. And they get a coach who can maximize the talent around him. Jerry Jones, as the owner, doesn't want to relinquish any of the power of the organization. So he is still calling the shots, even though he has gotten better at listening to his kids on drafting some of the wild reaches that he used to take. He is actually not making those reaches, but the problem is that he wants a coach that'll be a yes man to him. And
that's always been the case.
And that always has been the case. I mean, he has gone after what got between he and
Jimmy
Johnson. Jimmy said, no, I want to do it my way. He brought in Bill Parcells to be like, no, see, I can do it. I can have a guy who's a strong-willed person. No, they bickered and fought with each other the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it's been yes man after yes man, and the results are exactly the same.
But Jason Garrett being the most of that.
Yeah, and it got Jason Garrett to the point where now we're looking at Jason Garrett going, yeah, well, he wasn't that bad, you know? Like, it's getting worse in Dallas. And look, the Dak Prescott injury, obviously that plays a massive role in them looking as bad as they looked
last
night.
But they also... That same team with Dak Prescott had 60 hung on them by the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, they lost 5 home games in a row instead of 6, right?
So.
That was my one takeaway from Monday Night Football last night is I don't think we learned much about the Houston Texans because they were good heading into that game. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They're still a very good football team.
Joe Mixon, really good. Did you see the stat that came out of that?
Yeah.
He's now the all-time leader in consecutive road games with 100 yards rushing and a touchdown. Mm. He tied Derrick Henry.
Wow, that's good.
5 consecutive road games with at least 100 yards and a touchdown.
Joe Mixon, almost as good at hitting the hole as he is hitting women.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Off the top rope from the other room.
Lord.
Off the steel cage from the other room.
Yeah.
Went all Mankind on you.
Yeah, I'm not... Golly. No, but they are still a really good football team. Mm-hmm. And I think we said just saw how bad the Dallas Cowboys are.
And really good football teams beat the crap out of dog water teams.
And it's, you know, the one thing that Jerry always used to lean on and he could lean on is he's got Jerry's World. Back to back bad weeks for Jerry's World. You have the light blinding CeeDee Lamb in the back of the end zone, and then Jerry gets defensive about it. The very next home game, the ceilings, a la the kingdom, starts falling apart.
Did you see what the Texans did?
Yes.
For those that did not see it, the Texans social media team used the shape of the piece of metal that fell out of the roof and turned it into an L.
Yikes, dog.
Shout out the Texans social media team.
No, the Texans social media team was on one because they did that at the end of the game. Do you see what they did before the game?
Mm-mm.
Finally, a real fight in Arlington this weekend.
Wow.
That's what they did pregame. Obviously, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
To which Cowboy fans applaud you for this one. They were going, nah, this is the same S we watched on Friday.
Yeah. Also, did you see what they did for the fight?
No.
They closed the curtains.
Oh, yeah, they did to block out the light. They brought in curtains that Jerry said, no, we don't need to do that. Home field advantage. Yeah, they had curtains up.
We always know where the sun is.
Yeah.
Just an insane excuse. Just an insane excuse. I unbelievable.
Oh, man. All right.
Within the rules, if you are the Cowboys, and let's say you lose a toss, so you pick the direction. Can you then close the curtains if you have them?
You can't, you can't do it on a drive-by-drive basis.
No. Right? But I'm saying knowing that you're going to be going. You win the toss, so you don't get to pick the direction. But can you then close the curtain so that you?
As long as you keep them closed.
Yeah, but like you take away the advantage that you may have against them, but you make sure that you don't have it against you in the fourth.
I believe you can.
It has to be the same for both, right?
Yeah, that's like exactly. It has to be the same for both teams. Mm. So as long as you do that at the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. like you can't have the curtains closed and then be like, you know what, fourth quarter, they're going into it.
Open them up.
We're going to do? We're going to open those.
It's off the ice outside. Yeah. Let's let a little breeze in here.
Yeah, you can't do that. Mm. That was one thing that the Cincinnati Bengals always used to be accused of doing.
Mm.
Apparently they would open the gates on one end of the stadium.
Oh, let the wind through?
And let the wind just howl through the stadium.
Which, if you let it go down that tunnel, it basically just turns it into an actual wind tunnel, and it just flies through the stadium.
I think that was when they played the Chargers, Dan Fouts and the Chargers. Mm. They were accused of opening the gates and letting the wind through.
I mean,
solid move.
Yeah.
That used to be back when home field advantages
were truly
made by the groundskeepers.
Mm-hmm. Water in the field, getting a little thick, maybe cutting it shorter because you're faster. Like, I kind of like those days.
The Patriots bringing out the blowers on the yard lines and
around the kicker.
Yeah. Well, not that against the Raiders. That was the players.
Mm.
But you would just like go out. In the 80s, they did that. They brought out the blower on the turf and just blowed off the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Like those were the good old days.
I do miss those days.
It's a home field advantage for bring your own blowers, mm-hmm. guys.
Or the playing in Oakland and playing in the baseball diamond, getting tackled in
That's
the middle
right.
of second base
and feces.
Yeah, oh, God,
because that has happened
what
in
a
Oakland.
Hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
That stadium's so bad.
Yeah, well, they're keeping it.
Yeah, what is Oakland going to do with that?
They're playing soccer there. Remember?
Yeah, I know.
That's what they're doing. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Go with God.
All right. Let's treat the Cowboys as such. All right? Until they have to prove it. Can we make a gentleman's agreement on that? Everybody out here, can we do a handshake or a head nod, and just say, all right, we're done with you. You got to prove it. We're not going to do this next year. I don't want to hear the Cowboys are going to be better next year. No. Until they actually do something about it, they should be treated like the franchise that they are, which is a winless at home 3-7 team. We need to treat them like the other 3-7 teams. They have the same record as the Carolina Panthers right now. They have a worse record than the Cincinnati Bengals, which are being ripped apart right now. And it's like, hey, yeah, they got a chance. No, they don't.
The NFL version of Texas is back.
It truly is. It truly is. Right now, it doesn't seem like they're treated like the 3-8 Jets or the 3-8 Patriots.
When they very much are in the same water.
Right now, they are.
Yeah.
They are. And I hope that they get the number one pick. And they're like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Mm.
Do we draft Shador?
Well, so what's funny is I was playing some 2K with a couple of my buddies last night. One of them
and hired Dion,
huge Cowboys fan.
Des Bryant wants to,
and it's in the third quarter, and he's like, "What are we doing, man? What are we doing?" I'm like, "I think that Cooper Rush had just thrown a pass that it was almost intercepted," and I'm like, "Buddy, you want this?" The best thing for you right now is to literally lose every game. It's like, well, a draft pick's not going to change what we are next year. I'm like, this, buddy, this isn't about next year. This is about the future of your franchise. I don't think you understand. You're cooked. The next couple years, you're going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way out of this. You don't have a Danny Dimes injury clause that you can work your way through. You've got money sunk into CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. You're screwed.
You're dunzo.
You want as many high draft picks as you can get over the next couple of years to help you transition into the next era, because you're stuck.